somebody over there. They're not your friends. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 734-1093.
Friday edition, final hour of another week, finishing up our first month here on the new home of the show, 105.3, The Bear. Text line's open for you at 744-2990. Mike Ashley comes up in about half an hour. Joining us now on the program, she is the First Lady of BDST. Her name is Jen, the Gamecock Girl, out for a stroll this morning. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning to you, Rick.
How are you? You good?
I am good. I got my walking in, and I got to my car just in time to talk to you.
Aw, well, I appreciate that. How many steps did you get in?
Not that many. I was late today. I'm going to confess.
Uh-oh.
But I'll get it done. I've been doing 3 miles a day.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. That's really good, actually. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel good about it.
Well, you should. You should. You've done a good job ever since. You think about this. Now, you went through this major shoulder issue where you literally, your arm was dragging like you were Quasimodo. and then you had this very complex surgery, and you've kind of been on it since then, right, with your exercise program after you rehabbed. It's been very impressive.
Thank you. I do feel very happy about my progress. I think having that shoulder replacement helped me get away from the pain cycle and just focus on feeling better and doing a little bit better with a lot of things in my life. And I've been very happy since then.
I mean, before you had the surgery, it was like a mannequin arm hanging off you, right? I mean, it's just kind of...
The description. I mean, it was a lot. Like, I have to admit, I couldn't really raise my arm maybe above my shoulder height.
I know.
It was really bad there for a while. So maybe not dragging, but but not great either. Not so awesome.
And your lifting program, remember how discouraged you were about, remember when you got back in the weight room? But I bet you're doing a lot better now, aren't you?
I am. I remember telling you right after my surgery,
yes,
that one of my rehab things, they had me lift a foam roller, like a bench press with a foam roller. And it was the most humiliating thing I've ever done.
Well, I understand. Look, trust me. See, I can relate. And the reason I can give you a hard time is because of my own shoulder ailment when I tripped and, you know, dislocated my own shoulder and had to pound it back into place in the door. You know, so I understand. I'm still having problems out of that shoulder. It's just apparently going to hurt forever. So.
Or get the replacement. I'm a big fan of the replacement now. Now, before the replacement, I wouldn't have necessarily said that, oh, just go do that. But it was immediately better for me. It was an immediate upgrade from what I had been dealing with. Yeah. And I never had any pain, really, from the surgery at all.
When did you realize you needed, like, what was going on with your shoulder when you realized you needed to have surgery?
It was years of pain, and I was in PT for years, and I did the cortisone shots until they said that, like, one day they weren't going to work anymore, and then I would need the replacement. And the day that happened was a very sad day, because I got the shot, and then a week later, it was apparent that it had done nothing and hadn't helped. So that was the time that I realized, like, okay, I'm going to have to do something about this. And of course, when I was first told I needed a replacement, I always thought the guy was crazy. I thought, oh, no, I'm fine. Like, this is going to be fine. And I'm just going to go see another doctor. And he said the same thing. And then I thought, okay.
Well, I'm glad you got through
it.
And now you're always smiling because you're no longer in pain.
Yes. I mean, I really sympathize with people who have chronic pain because I get it. And it's terrible. That and herniating the neck disc. I had that a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
I kind of do, actually.
Like old people discussion. But that pain, it's relentless. So I certainly feel for people who are dealing with chronic pain. But if you can get out of that cycle, life's a lot better.
You know, it's not just an old person thing, Jen. It's I'm down at Radford all the time. I see student athletes. They have injuries that, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, those young people, they put a lot into it, and I know their bodies are fine-tuned, but, man, it just seems like there's more injuries today with young people than I've seen in a long time. I don't know why. But.
It is frustrating for them, you know, and again, changing my own perspective, when I see injured athletes who've come back from really tough surgeries and injuries, I follow them much more closely now in their progress because of what I've been through, and I find myself cheering for people coming back from that because I understand how difficult it is. But just now, I guess it's been a year and a half now, just now I feel like my left is almost caught up to my right when I lift weight. So, you know, that's a lot of progress and a lot of work, and I'm really proud of that.
That's really cool. You're now like RoboCop. You have a steel arm in that shoulder. So there you go. It's good stuff.
I like having a scar. It makes me feel kind of tough, too. Now, the scar is not apparent to everybody, apparently, because most people don't see it initially. But I kind of like it. Makes me feel like a warrior. Makes me feel tough.
Absolutely. I get that. Yeah, I still have the scar over my eye when I was boxing and It sounds weird, but it's kind of glad that I have it. It's like, there's my permanent reminder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Wayne just sent me Phil Steele's mag is out. I don't have it yet. Have you bought it? I have not.
I did. It's being shipped, but I don't have it yet.
Okay. Well, you want to go over the SEC predictions from Phil? What?
I want to do that? How about let's just do that?
You
want to rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You want to go from the bottom up or you want to go from the top down? How about we go from the top down?
I was going to say bottom up and get it over with, but do whatever you would like.
Well, I mean, it's not. Okay. Georgia, obviously. There's no more divisions in this league with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have, what, 15? 17? 17. No, you have 16 teams, right?
I was going to say it's not odd. Yeah, I thought it was 16.
16 teams. Okay. Sorry, I needed some beverage there. Started drinking early today. All right. Georgia is number one, clearly, right? I mean, you pay your coach $13.5 million, you better be picked first in your conference. Good Lord. Texas, newcomer. The two newcomers picked 2 and 3, Texas and Oklahoma. How about that?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah? You're not surprised at that?
No, I mean, everyone has had that conjecture, so I'm not shocked at that. That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
I think so. Do you think so?
Well, I skipped one. Hang on. I read that wrong. Let me go back. It's Alabama. It's Texas, Alabama. I read that wrong.
Okay.
I had to blow. I had to
Alabama's
blow up the picture
one that
here.
Has the most, Alabama has the most iffy status with the coach change, of course.
Correct. Correct. Let me change that. Georgia, Texas, Alabama is the top three.
Okay, Alabama's in front of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that read Oklahoma, but clearly it says Alabama.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, okay, that's a big difference there. Okay.
Jen, I need eye surgery. All right. Ole Miss is number four. Your guy, not so skinny Lane Kiffin anymore. You love that.
He fluctuates. I appreciate that.
He does fluctuate, doesn't he? That's true. LSU, Tigers. Number six, another coach making what? He's making, what, $11 million? I think that's right. Coach Kelly? Yeah.
Brian Kelly. We're talking about his family?
Yeah. Hey,
we're
y'all. Yeah. Man, I'm kind of miss Jimbo Fisher, though. I can't do his impression anymore. All right. Missouri, right after LSU. And you've talked about Missouri. You like Missouri a lot.
I do. I don't want to like them, but I think they are going to come on strong this year.
Then Oklahoma. Tied with Missouri. So there you go.
Okay,
That makes more sense.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like, the Oklahoma thing, and again, you know, Phil knows things we don't know. So, that seems high, but I've heard some people say that they deserve to be up there. But that makes more sense, what you just said. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Tennessee. A&M, Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, and South Carolina, all on the same tier.
Oh, man. No.
Yeah.
Florida has the worst schedule of everybody in the SEC. I think they should be lower.
Well, he's got Florida ahead of you. He's got you actually tied with Kentucky, Auburn, and Kentucky and Auburn.
Well, that I can see, but the Florida thing, I don't know.
And then he's got Arkansas, Mississippi State, and, of course, Vanderbilt, the last three teams.
Okay.
In the SEC.
All right. Well, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
So, yeah, not terrible. They love your punter. He's got your punter as the second-team punter. But maybe that's not a good sign when the highest-ranked player on his all preseason teams is a punter. Got to be somebody on the first team. Do you have anybody first team? Let me look here. Hunter Rogers, a long snapper. Whoa, watch out. Your special teams are going to be just killer this year, Jen.
Where does he have Lenore Sellers ranked as a quarterback?
Doesn't look like he has them on his top four. Let me see.
Okay, well, I mean, I wouldn't say
he's
top
new,
four,
right?
But...
He's new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he's ranked on his top. He just does the top four teams. He just has first team and all that stuff.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't go beyond that on this. He's got Carson Beck, obviously, from Georgia, number one. That's first team quarterback.
Okay. All right. Fair.
But I don't see any South Carolina players on his first team. So what do you think? Is that a fair assessment? Does it feel like this is a we'll see what happens type of deal with this team? Is that where we are right now?
Yeah, so there are a lot of unknowns with the new quarterback coming in. And you and Will and I talked about that when I was in the studio, that's going to be something that is really going to drive success or the alternative. I don't want to get too deep in that rabbit hole, make myself sad. But that and the O-line situation, got to have immediate improvement there. So, I mean, there are a lot of question marks about this year's team.
Do you feel, does it feel like, maybe I don't follow it very closely, but you do, I'm sure. Does it feel like Shane Beamer's kind of keeping a little bit of a lower profile this offseason? I haven't seen any of these videos and things like that. I mean, I don't follow him, but what do you think? Is he just kind of keeping a lower profile?
It does seem that way, which if that's deliberate, I would applaud that. I think that's a good strategy, and of course, most teams, when you're dealing with a group of young men, 18 to 22, 23, they always perform better as underdogs when they're before they're seasoned and used to winning, I feel like. So, you know, I think we're more comfortable in that position. I'd rather be there than overhyped and choke over and over.
that's a good point.
Too, the Gamecock.
That's a good
point. Oh, my gosh. So many times.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. I mean, if you're overly hyped, then you go 3-5, so you're like, ooh. I mean, you don't seem to recover from that as much as if you're kind of expected to do bad, and you kind of fall into, well, nobody really expected them to be very good. So
yes, and that's where that's the best positioning for us. When we surprised Tennessee that year and Clemson that year 2 years ago and won, that's where we are best, when we can issue a few surprise knockout punches. We don't do well when we're expected to do that all the time. I mean, we're just not there yet. We don't have enough consistency and depth yet.
I released on our BDST Facebook page, because you chimed in on it, by the way.
Facebook, the electric friendship generator.
You chimed in on it about the EA Sports Toughest Places to Play rankings. How about your stadium being in there? Is it deemed? That kind of surprised me a little bit. Because I see teams...
Well, yeah, because you've never been here.
Well, it's true.
Even though I've invited you over and over again.
It's true. I've never actually experienced that. Yeah, you're right. Well, we're going to change that soon. We're going to change that. Promise.
Are we?
Yes. But you thought maybe Tennessee. Here she goes. She just can't get let go of this Tennessee thing. Oh, wait, that was a different thing. You thought Neyland Stadium, because you just visited there, should be at the top 10.
It was the loudest place I've ever been in my entire life. It was raucous. I mean, you know, I don't want to give props to Tennessee, so
I know.
It should say something that I am. I think they should be ranked higher than they are.
Did you get... Because I know you deck out when you go. You're wearing your South Carolina garb. Did you get a lot of pushback there from Tennessee fan?
No, they were cool with me. I was alone too, and I mean, that's just asking for taunts. But people were very friendly to me.
Wait a minute,
I have to say,
you went to Neyland Stadium by yourself?
I did. I really wanted to go to that game, and it just, the way everything worked out with the logistics, I had to arrive pretty close to the kickoff time, and I, you know, just went ahead and did it. I don't have a problem doing stuff by myself. I really don't. And sometimes that's easier, because I just like to concentrate and watch the game. And if I'm with somebody who's real blabby, that's not a good pairing for me.
No, there's nothing worse than being... You're right. That's a great point. There's nothing worse than watching your team play and somebody wanting to have a conversation with you.
No, I don't want that, any of it. And also, too, like, even if I'm watching on TV, I can't focus. So
correct.
I actually sort of prefer to be alone sometimes when it's something I care about. And when we start to play poorly, and of course we got behind before too long in that game, you know, I just kind of need to sit there and take it and just watch it and just be in my own place and not be bothered.
Were you able?
The fans were great to me. They were fine.
Did you get to sit with South Carolina people, or were you in the Tennessee section?
I was with South Carolina people.
Okay. Right.
In our section, yes.
Okay.
The only time I went to all those away games last year except for Missouri, and the only time that I really got any kind of taunting, it was pretty mild at Georgia, and I was alone at Georgia also.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. And I had all my stuff on. Of course. You know, I don't back down from that.
I know you don't. I know you don't. We just got a text message. Jen is the perfect woman.
Thank you. Well, the Georgia thing, my car broke down on the way there. And, I mean, it made it to Athens, but barely. And so I had to talk with a local shop. And the guys there were so sweet. Like, they ended up making sure that I got to the game on time. And they drove me back to my hotel and picked me up and worked on my car. And, like, they were the best, even with that situation. So, again, I had a lot of nice SEC experiences.
Was this your own car, or was this a rental?
It was my car.
Hmm.
And those guys were great.
That's good. That's really good.
They took great care of me, made sure my car was good to go and get home safely.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's nice. And then you get a bunch of trouble from Georgia fan. Doesn't surprise me.
I mean, I got a few taunts, but it wasn't anything I couldn't handle.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're going to get a little bit of pushback. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different, someone who, you know, shows up looking like yourself as opposed to some dudes who might be there talking smack, which you never do, right? You don't talk any smack.
No. Well, especially when I'm by myself.
Well, true.
I'm just going to sit there quietly.
That's right.
You're in somebody else's house. I mean, I don't like it when people come and Williams Bryson are all tawny and mouthy from other teams.
Which I'm sure happens quite often when they leave that stadium with a big W.
Well, there was a time when it wasn't that, when we had some glory days back in there, you know. But I try to be the kind of fan that I would welcome myself to Williams-Brice, so I try not to do that.
Treat as you want to be treated, in other words, right?
Yeah.
Sound advice. Very sound advice.
And, I mean, I will, on my way out after a loss, congratulate the other team's fans and ask them, you know, how they're doing and have some small talk, some chat. We got to be a good ambassador for your school. I told you Texas A&M people were the best at that.
Yeah.
Absolute best.
What are you congratulating the losing fans on? Hey, congratulations. Boy, you're taking this loss really well.
No, I mean, like,
losers.
Like, if they've had a good year, you find something positive to chat it up. Like, well, you didn't win the day, but wow, y'all played well against blah, blah. And, you know, you find something.
Which, of course, doesn't hold up when you're taking on Vanderbilt. Hey, everybody. Hey, you got that great medical school. Yay!
Well, I mean, those people, they have no illusions. They know. They know what's up. So
hey,
if they're actually there, they came to have a good time.
Congratulations on cashing all that SEC check money. Congratulations. Yay! Yay!
The Vanderbilt people, you've seen how much tuition is there, right? I mean...
Yeah,
if they're there at a game, they know what's up. They're there to have a good time. They've got some extra money. They're living large when they're road tripping or wherever. You know,
very
it's
true.
It's a different kind of fan.
Very true. Very, very true. So how many more rounds in our fantasy football draft? And now I have to say our fantasy football draft because Jen has completely dragged me into this thing.
Oh, you were fully submerged. It's done. After 28 rounds,
it finished
2 days ago.
Why do I feel like we drafted 64 wide receivers?
Because we kind of
did, didn't we?
I mean, you've got to do something. You got to use the pick on someone, and you got to get that mix of veterans and new people. Thank you for your advice and your help.
No problem. I hope it works out. Pressure's on now for some of these guys to show out for me, so...
Well, I mean, that's part of what makes this fun, because there's so much that we just don't know how it's going to shake out. This league, I feel like, is even more luck-oriented than it usually is with the fantasy football.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll just see. I think it's going to be fun, though. I mean, it's going to be years of this.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope it works out for us. I hope it works out. Do we get to change the team name now that I'm part of it, or no? No? No.
What would you want it to be called?
I don't know. I have to think about it a little bit. What's it called right now? Some dude's helmet or something?
Vincent Smith's helmet. I told you, it's clever.
Yeah. I think we can be a little more clever.
You wouldn't talk by Clowney, but that's... No. It's too apparent. This requires some Googling from people.
Yeah, I think we need to... It does, but, you know, couldn't we work in like a... You know, Steve Spurrier thing or your saxophone, something like that. I mean, we got to work in something about you, too.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody wants to hear about my sax playing in fantasy football.
I don't know. I just think we need something more. We'll see. We'll investigate. If I come up with something better, I'll hit you with suggestions. You can say yay or nay. I mean,
we could do some kind of combination of Gamecocks and Highlanders, maybe.
You are the owner of the team. I'm just kind of this flunky who works in your office part-time. That's all.
You know, I've always wanted to be the owner of the Washington Now Commander.
That's true.
So, at least I'm the owner of something, I guess.
All right. Well, we need to reassess our team one of these visits on the show and see what we got.
Okay, I'll try to come up with some other names. But the other guys in the league, I told you they're primarily Clemson people. They thought my name was hilarious and acted like it was the coolest thing ever, and your reaction was very... very, very...
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll see. I want to look at our depth chart maybe next week, see what we look like.
Okay.
All right.
We can do that.
All right. Well, listen, have a great weekend. You hanging out this weekend? You going to, which, you going to hang out? You traveling? What are you doing?
I'm hanging out in Columbia, South Carolina this weekend.
Wow.
I'm going to enjoy a lot of nothing.
Breaking news. Breaking news. All right, well, stay safe, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, and go Gamecock.
There you go. That's Jen, the Gamecock girl. We'll take a break. Come back. More coming up as we roll along on the Finally Friday edition.
The new River Valley's Rock Station, 105.3, The Bear. Big Dog is back on The Bear.
Final segment for another week. Our own superhero joining us on the program, Mike Ashley, the Radford University Hall of Famer. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, pal?
I'm hanging in there. You were out and about. You're hanging out at a golf tournament yesterday, right?
Yeah, the Capital Region of, I call it Northern Virginia, Alumni Radford Golf, tournament. And I don't play anymore. People that have seen me play know. I actually do not have divots when I play. It's more like strip mining. I'm terrible. I can't play that dang game a lick. We did have despite many Radford athletics luminaries from soccer and baseball and other sports, women's golf, a lot of people there, obviously athletes play golf. But for the second year in a row, Jay Gruden was there, former Washington football coach. Yeah. His team placed again. I'm not sure they won. I think I was in the dessert line when that award was given out.
Of course you were.
I missed some of the post game, which isn't normally my modus operandi, but I spent all day trying to stay in the shade under a tent as sun moved around. I kept having to move my chair around, but they stationed me at a nice place there right at the turn, so I get to see everybody. Everybody comes by. I had some former baseball players there, Darren Hurst and Gerald Radican, Will Browning, just a lot of guys that I remember from the days here. And then Jamal Haddad was there, Charlie Lasley, off the soccer teams that were there before I was there. I love those guys. They're so much fun. So it was good. Sean P.A., who played with Dante back in the day, was there. Yeah, it was. I always like seeing all those people.
Yeah, I mean, that was right in your heyday there, the whole Dante Washington experience and all that. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to reconnect with all those guys.
Yeah, it's kind of, we've been talking about that a lot. We talked about Teddy Wilson last week and those days. And if everybody remembers Taco Inn in Radford, one of my favorite places in the history of the world to eat, and DJ Shock, the son of the people that owned the place there, very successful DJ back there in the 90s, yep, in Radford and really all over the state, if I remember correctly. And he, we actually had a DJ at the soccer matches to turn up the volume a little bit. We had big crowds, and Coach Staley loved to play to him, so we had a DJ that was firing up the music, in dead time there, and also, when we scored a goal. And, of course, his son now is playing at Liberty University, playing football. So, those are the kind of things that make you feel kind of old.
Hey, well, let's continue your sobering ways of your Los Angeles Lakers, who last night drafted Bronny James. Which many teams didn't even have on the draft board. I mean, now we know why, Mike. We the whole Dan Hurley thing, now you know why. We know who's really going to run this organization. It's LeBron James, because that's the only reason that pick was made.
Well, yeah, but, I got probably a little different view on this. We kind of knew that was coming. Thank God it wasn't in the first round where they actually picked up a player that can help them, Dalton Knecht, which was, some had him as high as, I saw a mock draft that had him 10th, so getting him at 17 was a real steal. And he's a player that can probably help, and certainly somebody J.J. Redick can take under his shooting wing and improve and make a viable option off the bench. Bron, Well, Bronny's got a lot of skill. You know, you got to remember, like, the thing I'm hoping it will be compared to someday is when Jerry West, you know, was slick enough to get Kobe Bryant away from the Charlotte Hornets in a draft day trade. And, you know, nobody knew how good Kobe was going to be. They thought he could be good, but my gosh, look what he turned into. And Bronny's got a chance, and this is just going to be a great story. I mean, you know, I know it doesn't help to get the Lakers closer to championship contention this year, but that's going to be kind of fun to watch. You know, father son playing together there, and I have a feeling the Lakers are really smart. Bronny's going to have to do some time in the G League where he can get on the court and play and play and play. Because how many G League players did we see drafted the other night? So, you know, I'm not as down on that as a guy who likes the Lakers as some people are.
I'm trying to think. When we had the Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. played together, have there been any other father sons in any of the pro sports that have played together at the same time? That's a tough one.
Well, the Howes, Gordie Howe.
That's right.
Came back to play.
That's right. He came back, didn't he? Yeah.
At least one of his sons. I'm trying to remember. The Boones would be the other one, you know.
Oh, you Raven. Know what? That's it. Yeah, Bob Boone. Bob. Yeah.
Right, right.
And so, Aaron Boone and all that, maybe one. Yeah, it hadn't been many, so.
Hey, the big takeaway from me in the NBA draft, and for a lot of people, was, you know, you got the top two players in the world eligible for the NBA draft are Frenchmen.
I know.
And three of the top six are French, and there were a lot of others. And then you throw in Victor Wembanyama from last year. I mean, my gosh. How is the U.S. going to compete against these guys at some point? In I guess I'm calling it baguette ball now, right?
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of to compare this to what the advantage of guys, because they're all 7 foot and move like, you know, Kevin Durant or, you know, a wing forward. And the only thing I could compare it to was it was like when the Harlem Globetrotters had to play a team of robots on Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
It's gonna be something like that. I couldn't remember how that show ended up. I think I'm sure the Globetrotters won.
Had to have won, right?
And I'm guessing it had something to do with the professor using analytics, but I can't really remember now.
That's a very good point. I'm not sure how they won that game, but however they did win it, yeah, it had to involve one of the two. Maybe they used Ginger and Marianne as a distraction for the robots. I don't know. I just don't know.
Laker girls, yeah, that would have worked. Yeah, but you know they did all that. They had robots on the island. If I remember, there were TV announcers there and everything, and they still didn't get those dang people off that island.
They sent in announcers. Yeah, they sent in announcers, but yet they couldn't get them off the island. That's right. That's right.
Right, right.
Now, it may come to a surprise. Now, if I'm wrong, tell me, but aren't you a more of a Ginger guy instead of a Marianne guy?
Yes. I'll take the movie star. I grew up with Marianne's, and they were wonderful, but, you know, there was an allure to the movie star who, you know, you've got to, you know... Look, we're guys here. Girls who are girls, you know, that do the girly stuff. Those always appeal to me. Ginger went on a 3-hour tour and packed evening gowns. Okay, well. Come on.
She did. She did do that. You're right. You're right. The Radford Hall of Famer, Mike Ashley.
Calling me out on that. Actually, if given my druthers, I usually answer that question. I'm a Samantha. Fan, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From Elizabeth Montgomery.
Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. Yeah, that was the one I gravitated to.
Absolutely, me too.
I don't mean this. I don't mean this in the bad way it's going to sound, but you know, I thought Jeannie was too easy, just because you know she did whatever you wanted. You know, you need a little more give and take in these relationships.
Yeah, she's always running around belly dancing. Yeah, you don't want that. You want to. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you want it sometimes, but you know, all the time. Now, I might have gone for her dark. Haired sister a little bit more. I
had
Serena, right?
That's right. Yeah, Samantha and Serena.
No,
that's right.
That might have been Elizabeth Montgomery's dark haired sister.
It was.
It all runs together.
It was. Yeah, she played
really,
both roles.
They wrecked my life when, you know, 1 year Darren was a whole different guy and they never said anything.
I know. Yeah, they brought
I
in.
Wasn't ready for that.
They brought in Dick York and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't Darren. What's going on? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Dick York apparently had chronic back problems.
Yes.
They had to replace him with Dick Sargent. Okay, this is much more 60s sitcom trivia than people expected this morning, isn't it?
Well, that's fine. Good stuff. Okay, so Chick Hearn was actually there calling the game. Wow. The former Lakers broadcaster was calling the Globetrotters Robots game.
I thought that was true. Now, was Stu Mahan there? Because they were usually together. You know, I know Stu Mahan was on the Rocky fight.
Yes, he was.
Now, that stuff never bothered me, especially when they used the real guys, because I always kind of enjoyed that. You know, and Bob Uecker in movies, that was always great, him on the mic there. But the thing that always bothered me was when they had the guy on the microphone sounding more like the radio play-by-play color voice. They were doing that during the game, talking like they were analyzing, and that just drove me up the wall.
At the time,
never getting the uniform colors right, having two teams in their dark jerseys rather than one team in white or whatever, you know, that drove me crazy. That reminded me of, like, toothpaste commercials I saw where they did that, and I went, oh, my God, hire somebody that knows something about sports.
Well, it's kind of
it was
a precursor to what we see now, Mike, in the NBA. They do it all the time now, dark against dark.
I was just about to say, that came back to haunt me big. So,
You're getting ready to do your, or maybe you already are, you're starting around your college basketball previews. I mean, how is that, I've been to ask you, how has that been an adjustment for you with every team basically you're covering now with a new team opposed to the one they had last year because of the portal?
Well, there's two things about that. Number one is, in the last few years, I've tried to do my work as late as possible because stuff is changing right up until tip-off, it seems like, now. And I want the publications I write for to have the most accurate information I can get them based on my deadlines. But the deadlines have moved up now because somehow all the technology around us, the print industry, has actually gotten tougher. So I don't have as much basketball work for some of the other publications like Lindy's, or at least not yet. Nobody's assigned me anything for Lindy's or Athlon. I'm doing a little bit of Blue Ribbon, but I turned most of that over to somebody else. I did Blue Ribbon. I went from like covering 25 teams this year. I'm only covering two because I am trying to be semi-retired so I can live the semi-good life. And the two teams I'm doing, obviously, are Radford, who I still like being an expert on them, so I get to talk to Darius early and find out what's what with them. And I don't know anything about them right now. And
no,
I'll be honest,
no.
Not just Darius, but the problem with the coaches talking to them in July is they don't know anything about their guys yet. More and more I ask them, you know, what do you got? What do you expect? They have no idea.
No idea, right.
You got to put the teams together. Darius's first teams, he got some guys out. Well, the second team, you know, they got won three postseason games. Obviously, Darius has proven he can recruit and can get players on there. Last year, they maybe had a little bit more talent, but the fit wasn't as good as the year before, and that's what coaches can't answer. How are these guys going to fit together? How are they going to blend with transfers? Guys coming in, often coming to a smaller program, often coming from junior college, where, you know, now they're like, okay, I'm going to be the guy this year. Well, you can't have five or six guys being the guy. You got to have one or two guys, and they have to fit together and make it work. And that's the big issue. And that's Blue Ribbon in particular, where I get to write a lot about the team. That's the part I want to know when I talk to the coaches. How is it fitting together? And sometimes I'll talk to assistant coaches too, and try and get some outside sources to help me, wink, wink, Rick, with how it's all coming together. By the way, I should mention the other team that I kept that I wanted to be able to have more access to was our pal Mike Young over there at Virginia Tech, who's a friend of mine and who, you know, I just wanted to stay in touch with the Hokies as much as anything, and have the ability to call up and get press passes if I needed some time to come to Blacksburg.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
So you're just going to be covering.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was another guy who was a UVA grad who I could give that over to, and things had happened, and I missed out on interviewing Tony the year before last, and I'll be damned if Tony Bennett didn't get messages to me to make sure I was okay. How about that?
No, you know? that's who he is. That's exactly right.
Exactly. And boy, I would love to see more about college athletics in that vein than the stuff we're reading now. And there's just every time I pick up a paper, there's something disturbing. I mean, the whole movement to get the athletes classified as employees. Please, somebody think that through, okay? You know, because then these guys are going to have to pay taxes on their wages.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Just come on. People, a little common sense in athletics again, please.
Well, that usually doesn't go hand in hand, especially nowadays. But, yeah, I'm with you. Well, listen, what are you getting into this weekend? You just going to hang out? You just chilling? Just going to enjoy the retired life?
We don't get to do that because we're trying to get that house in Delaware finished, and then that means we got to start getting ready to sell this one in Fairfax. But next week I'll be actually passing through the promised land down there because I'm headed to Tennessee to visit my two nieces who live in eastern Tennessee now, and then it's on down to the annual Ashley family reunion. And
nice.
I'm proud to report I'm now, unfortunately, patriarch of my branch of the family tree, and I've got 10 people coming from my branch there. Which, if you've met Ashley, you'll know that'll weigh the branch down. So we got to be careful. But yeah, we're going to the big reunion, and I've also got some of my. This is the second year I've been able to recruit my second cousins, who are all the same age as me that I grew up playing with. My first cousins are wonderful, wonderful salt of the earth people, but they're not really my age. So getting my second cousins to come to this thing has really made it so much more fun for me. The people I grew up and a chance to catch up with all them. And that, you know, look, this part of the world, you people know exactly what I'm talking about. This is what it's all about. So, yeah,
absolutely.
And I meant you people the best possible way. My homies in Southwestern Virginia.
Well, listen, my friend, stay safe and have a good weekend, and we'll reconvene next week.
Goober says hey, right. And I look forward to seeing some of you guys again soon.
Hey, okay. Goober. There you go. That's Mike Ashley joining us. We're wrapping it up for another week after this.
It's the Big Dog.
And the weekend is just about upon us. Thanks to Jen and Mike today. All of your requests for the All Requests opening hour with your music. Hope everybody has a nice weekend. Might see a little rain here in the area, but nothing too bad at all. And we'll be back with you next week here on the program. Stay safe, everyone. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you next week.
have us here at News Center for. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.